Will you please turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 3. Gospel according to John chapter 3. Verse 29. Just one verse. John chapter 3, verse 29. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices in heart because of the voice of the bridegroom. This my joy then is fulfilled. The Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 8. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Same book. Chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. I slept, but my heart was awake. The voice of my beloved, he knocketh. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And finally, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. But in the middle of the night, there was a cry, Behold the bridegroom, go forth to meet him. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue in thy presence, we do pray that the light of thy countenance may shine upon us. Remove from our hearts any veil that may be there, that we may behold the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, and be transformed from glory to glory according to His image by the Lord the Spirit. We ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou will release Thy word to us tonight. Speak to our heart. Draw us to Thyself. Show us the beauty of thy beloved Son, that we may run after thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We mentioned last night that John the Baptist considered himself as the friend of the bridegroom. When he heard the voice of the bridegroom, he was glad, and his joy was fulfilled. Now this evening we would like to continue on with the voice of the bridegroom. John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. But before that voice passed away, the voice of the bridegroom was heard. And when John heard the voice of the bridegroom, his joy was filled. And we do look to the Lord that tonight we may also hear the voice of the bridegroom, and thus our joy be filled. Now historically we know that John the Baptist began his ministry 6 months ahead of our Lord Jesus, because he was the forerunner of our Lord. And there in the wilderness he began to cry, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh." But after 6 months, his voice was silent. He was put into prison by King Herod. Then our Lord Jesus began his public ministry in real earnestness. We remember how he began in Galilee. And when our Lord Jesus began his ministry, his message to the people was the same. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. Even though there were two voices, one voice has just passed, and the other voice began, and yet the message was one. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. That is the preparation. But then we begin to hear the voice of the bridegroom. And the first voice that we hear of the bridegroom is the voice calling people to himself. If you look into Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time began Jesus to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh." Here our Lord Jesus continued to call the people to repent. And if any person will repent, then he will come to the Lord. So in Matthew chapter 11, we find it is said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." The result of repenting is to come to the Lord. The voice of the bridegroom is saying, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest." In John chapter 5, we find our Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my voice and believe in the one who has sent me, he shall have eternal life. He is passed out of death into life." And again, on the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, our Lord Jesus stood on a high place and he cried, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink of me. He that believeth, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I gave my life for my sheep. And no one can take my sheep out of my hand." So here you find the voice of the bridegroom. The first voice of the bridegroom is said, "Come to me." Anyone who is heavily burdened, anyone who is thirsty, anyone who is dead in sins and transgressions can come to him. And if we come to him, we shall find rest, we shall be satisfied, and we will be secured. That is the voice of the bridegroom in terms of our Savior. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we have all have heard that voice. We have come to Him, and we find rest in Him. We find our sins forgiven. We find eternal life. We find eternal security in Christ Jesus. But then the voice of the bridegroom continues. And if you read Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, you'll find after the Lord Jesus said, "Repent," then the next voice is, "And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them," verse 19, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." It is still the voice of the bridegroom. But here you'll find the voice gets a little bit deeper. Instead of calling us to come to Him, He said, "Come after me." Not only to come to Him and find rest, but to come after Him. It is the call of discipleship. The call of discipleship, is also the voice of the bridegroom. He wants us not only to come to Him and be saved, but He wants those who have come to Him and are saved to come after Him. He said, "Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and meek in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul." He said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you lose your life for my sake, you shall find it. If you find your life today, you shall lose it. Dear brothers and sisters, it is still the voice of the bridegroom calling us to come after him. It is not enough just to come to Him. We who have come to Him, we have to come after Him. We have to lay down ourselves, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Him. We must learn of Him. We are His disciples. He called us to follow Him. That is also the voice of the bridegroom. And you know, to come to Him is to receive all that He has provided for us. To come after Him, it requires a little cost. We have to deny ourselves. And how many of God's people refuse to deny themselves? They do not want to take up their cross and follow the Lord and learn of Him. So the cry of the Lord to us tonight is that if you have already come to Him and you have not yielded your life to Him, you have not accepted Him as your Lord as well as your Savior, you have not put your life into His hand, you have not yet deny yourself and take up the cross, then you do it tonight. Because He is calling you to do that. But it does not end here. If you turn to John chapter 21, and you'll find the voice of the bridegroom is calling again. And in that case, of course, we know that He is talking to Simon Peter. In John chapter 21, verse 15, "When therefore they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' he says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee." And he says to him, "Feed my lambs." We know the story of Simon Peter. When he met the Lord the first time, his brother Andrew took him to the Lord Jesus, and the Bible tells us that the Lord just looked at him. It is not just a casual glance, but the Lord really looked him over. And the Lord said, "Now you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter." And from that day on, this man became a believer of our Lord Jesus. Then the Lord Jesus called this man to follow him. He was fishing, because he was a fisherman. And the Lord Jesus passed by the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were there casting their nets. And the Lord Jesus said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And you remember Simon and his brother Andrew, they left the nets and followed the Lord. They responded to the call. Now, of course, we know from the record in Luke chapter 5, after he had followed the Lord for a time, when the Lord began to come to his city, Capernaum, you remember Simon went back to fishing again that night, but he didn't catch any fish. And the next morning our Lord Jesus borrowed his boat to preach to the multitude, and after he finished preaching, he told Simon, "Launch out to the deep and cast the net." Now Simon, being a fisherman, he said, "For the whole night there was no fish, but in respect, as a respect to the master, he just followed the instruction." And to his surprise, he caught a whole net of fishes. He realized who this man was. He knelt before him and said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to be your disciple." As a matter of fact, secretly Simon was thinking of dropping out. And that's the reason why he went fishing. He felt that he would never make it. But the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not. I will make you a fisher of men." And from that day onward, you remember how he followed the Lord Jesus. And even when you come to the Gospel of John chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus began to say something hard to hear, "Seek not for the food that perishes, but seek for the food that does not perish. Do the work of God. I am the bread of life. He that eats of me, he that drinks of me, shall have eternal life and shall never die." And when people heard about these things, the Bible said many of his disciples said, "This is too hard. We don't understand." And they drop out. When the Lord Jesus turned to that few that were with him and said, "Do you want to go too?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, where should we go? You have the word of eternal life. We are stuck with you. We will follow you to the very end." And here you'll find Simon Peter really follow after the Lord. It was a very difficult time for him. How he was disciplined by the Lord again and again. Of all the 12 disciples, he was the one that was most disciplined. You know who was the one that was the least disciplined? Or not disciplined? Judas. But Simon was the one who was most disciplined by the Lord. But no matter how the Lord disciplined him, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't go. And when, after 3 years, before our Lord Jesus was betrayed and crucified, on that night the Lord Jesus said, all you will be scattered. And Simon Peter said, no, Lord. The others may scatter, but I am going to die with you. I stick with you. I love you. I'm willing to die with you. And you remember that very night, he denied the Lord three times. Thank God, after our Lord Jesus was risen from the dead, you remember that he appeared to Simon Peter alone. We do not know what happened in that interview. Oh, how Simon Peter needed that. But we can imagine, after denying the Lord, probably he felt that from now on, probably I'm finished. Will the Lord ever forgive me? Will the Lord ever receive me? Accepted me as his disciples again. And no doubt, when the Lord appeared to Simon alone, the Lord assured him of his love. But then, that morning, when Simon and a few of the other disciples were fishing again, the Lord appeared to them. And during the breakfast time, the Lord Jesus turned to Simon Peter in the company of the other disciples, and he asked him a question. It is the voice of the bridegroom. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? You know why the Lord Jesus asked him these questions? Three times? The Lord had already met him privately and assured him of his love. Why then did the Lord Jesus should ask him this question three times before the other disciples? I believe it is not to assure him of the Lord's love towards him, but actually to restore Peter of his first love. You remember in Revelation chapter 2, the voice of the bridegroom to the church in Ephesus said, you have lost your first love. How are you going to regain it? Remember, where did you fall? And repent and do the first works. So here you find our Lord Jesus is reminding Peter, trying to restore his first love towards the Lord. So he asked him, do you love me more than these? The fire, he failed by the fireside. The company, he was in company with the servants of the high priest. He loved company. Do you love these more than me? The food, his own life. Ah, Peter thought he loved the Lord, but he discovered that he loved himself more than he loved the Lord. And here the Lord Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter dared not say he loved the Lord with all his heart. He knew he had failed. But strangely, he said, Lord, you know, even though I cannot say I really love you more than anything else because I have failed, but strangely, I feel I am attached to you. I cannot get away from you. And the Lord said, feed my lamb. Three times the Lord asked him, do you love me? And by asking this question, dear brothers and sisters, I believe Peter's first love was restored. And because his first love was restored, the Lord was able to commit his sheep, his lamb, into the hand of Simon Peter. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the voice of the bridegroom? The voice of the bridegroom began with come to me, continue on with come after me, and it is consummated in do you love me? You know, the relationship between the bride and the bridegroom is love. If there is no love, if there are lots of activities, if there are lots of works, lots of labors, lots of knowledge, lots of service, and yet if there is no love, then you'll find something is basically wrong. The one thing that the bridegroom is looking in the bride is love. First love. When we first believe in the Lord Jesus, we love Him. You know, when you are first saved, when your sins are being forgiven, and you know you have His life in you, oh, it's so marvelous. At that time, you really love Him with all your heart. At that time, you don't think of yourself. At that time, nothing you would consider as too costly for Him. You're willing to give up everything for Him. You think of Him and you really love Him. That's first love. But dear brothers and sisters, even though we have that first love in time, but it may not be in first quality, you find that that first love has to be developed. First love has to be increased. Until it is not only first in time, but first in quality. You really love Him. You're willing to lay down yourself for Him. And because of this, I cannot help but return to the Song of Songs. Because the Song of Songs is a song of loves. And here you'll find it is that relationship between the virgin and the beloved. Now in the Song of Songs, you find we read two verses. And these two verses tell us one thing. The voice of the beloved. You know, in the Song of Songs, you find that the virgin heard the voice of the beloved. This virgin, the Song of Songs began not with getting saved. The Song of Songs began with one who is saved, who is in her first love. She had just tasted the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And her heart is just stirred within her. She wanted to know more of the beloved. So it does not start with getting saved. It is not starting with a prodigal son returning home. The prodigal son has already returned home. And because of this, he wants to know more of his father's love. So the Song of Songs begins with a cry from the heart of one who is just stirred in her first love for her beloved. And she cries out that she may have a closer walk, a closer relationship, more intimate relationship with the one whom she loved. And because of her cry, her cry was answered. You'll find how she was brought into the chambers, how he was banqueting, sitting at the table with the beloved, how she was resting together with the beloved, even though at that time she had to pay a little cost, because even the brothers of her mother do not understand her. And yet, there you find how she rested in the beloved. You know, brothers and sisters, after we are saved, and if we really have a heart for Him, we really desire for Him, the Lord really answers our desire. You know the reason why some people do not seem to progress in the Lord is because they don't have a much desire for the Lord. If you really desire for the Lord, if you really cry for Him, you really want to know Him and know Him more, He will come to you. You will find that He is really near to you. He will lead you into His chambers. In other words, He will lead you into all kinds of experiences. He will exhibit to you, He will show you His unsearchable riches. In one room you will see certain things, in another room you will enjoy another thing, and you will be sitting together with Him, and you will be resting in Him. You will find that how restful He is, how rich He is. You have a real time with Him. And as you are doing that, probably you will be misunderstood sometimes by some people. They think that you are just too passive. You are just wanting the Lord and nothing else, you know. And you will be misunderstood, but that's a very little cost to pay. She was so comfortable with her beloved. She thought that that was just wonderful. And then suddenly, in chapter 2, verse 8, the voice of my beloved. She thought that the beloved was with her. But then, suddenly he discovered that the beloved was not with her. She heard the voice of the beloved. The voice of the beloved coming from outside. She was in the room. She was in bed. She was walled in, but the voice of the beloved coming through the window. And the voice of the beloved coming and calling her to come out with him. The winter is over. The summer is coming. Come out and go with him to the mountains, over the hills. Now, brothers and sisters, when we have a real life with the Lord, we find all our supplies in Him, we find our rest in Him, or how we want just to stay there forever. We think that that's everything. And you know, as a matter of fact, we are enjoying the Lord. That's true. We say we love the Lord. Yeah, we do. But actually, we love the Lord because we enjoy Him so much. As a matter of fact, it is very self-centered. Even in our spiritual pursuit, it is really, the Lord is mine. It is for me. He is for me, and I enjoy Him so much, I will not let Him go. I just want to stay here and continue to enjoy Him. In other words, we are still very much self-centered in our spiritual pursuit. And the Lord has to call us out. The voice of the beloved. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has so much for us to learn. And yet we are so contented with the little that we have of Him. We think that is enough. But the beloved says, it is just the beginning. Come out. Come out of yourself. Go with me on to resurrection ground. And you know, only when we come out of ourselves and come with Him onto resurrection ground, we really come, begin to have a union with Him. If you read the Song of Songs carefully, you will find that before this time, we may say it is still in the period, in the stage of courtship. It is as if there is a courtship between the virgin and the beloved. How the virgin sought for the beloved and how the beloved came to him, her, and tried to draw her out. So we may say it's just in the stage of courtship. Not until you come out of yourself. Instead of trying to hold the Lord to yourself that you may enjoy Him, but you're willing to let go of yourself and go move on with Him to the resurrection ground. Really, there is still no engagement. You know, the engagement period actually comes after the virgin respond to the call, to the voice of the beloved, leave her bed, go out of the room, and try to find him. And it is there you find she was moved on to resurrection ground. What is resurrection? Resurrection is life out of death. You have to go through death. And anything that goes into death and cannot come out from death, that is the old creation. That is yourself. But if you can go through death and something can come out of death, that is resurrection. That is the new creation. That is Christ Himself. So, brothers and sisters, the voice of the beloved is calling us to come out of ourselves, even of our spiritual self. We think we are very spiritual. We think that we really love the Lord. We think we really know Him. Even that we have to come out of it until we move on to resurrection ground. That is to say, nothing but Christ, His life. He is our life. He is our resurrection life. And only when we move on to resurrection ground, you find there is the espousal, this betrothal, the engagement. You remember the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, I'm jealous with you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one man, even Jesus Christ, as chaste virgins to that one man. And I'm fearful that you may be enticed by the enemy like Eve was deceived. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are His, and He is very jealous of us. We are espoused to Him as chaste virgin to that one man, our Lord Jesus. And if we are really espoused to Him, then you have to move on resurrection ground. Because only on resurrection ground you are really one with Him. on this side of resurrection is you. On that side of resurrection is He. So we have to move on into resurrection ground in order to be really espoused to Him. Now, how do we know that this was the time He was really engaged? Because if you read chapter 3, verse 11, go forth, daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. When that virgin she heard the voice of the beloved, and are willing to go out of herself and follow him, then you'll find it was the time of espousal. And then following that, in chapter 4, you will find verse 8. It says, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Now, before that, you'll find the Lord never called the virgin my spouse. My love, but not my spouse. But after that, you'll find He called that virgin my spouse. There is an engagement. There is a deeper union with the Lord because it is now on resurrection ground. And being on resurrection ground, you begin to enter into the ascension ground, the victory that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot experience the victory in Christ Jesus until we are on resurrection ground, and there we experience His victory. So here you'll find that virgin, after she experienced the victory that is in Christ Jesus, she felt that that must be the peak of everything. Now that must be the end. And here you're chapter 5, verse 2 again. I slept. She was so satisfied now. I slept. But my heart was awake. The voice of my beloved. Again you find she heard the voice of the beloved. Oh, brothers and sisters, how we need to hear the voice of the bridegroom. And as we hear His voice, He is calling us, moving us on with Him until we are really united with Him in purpose. So here you'll find again, this virgin was resting. She felt that she has reached the peak of her spiritual life. She got the victory of Christ. Now what else can you have? But fortunately, even though she was asleep, her heart was still awake. Now how can that be? All the mothers know how it can be. You know, the mothers, when they are sleeping, they are really sleeping, but their heart is awake. Because when the baby utter a little noise, immediately the mother knows it. Because the heart is awake. So here you'll find this virgin, even though she was asleep, but her heart was awake. And she heard the voice of the beloved. She finds that the beloved was no longer there. The beloved actually was outside and said, open to me, my sister, for my head is filled with dew, my lock with the drops of the night. Brothers and sisters, that is a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. You find that our Lord Jesus on that night, how He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there how He prayed, and even His sweat came down as blood. That is the picture. Here you'll find the beloved is calling her betrothed to join with Him in the fellowship of His suffering. Not only to know the power of His resurrection. Oh, how great to know the power of His resurrection.
But brothers and sisters, that is just a preparation for what is going to follow. Because here you'll find the Beloved is calling her to have fellowship with His sufferings. Now, of course, we know the sufferings of the Lord. There is one aspect of His suffering that we can never share with Him. In other words, when our Lord Jesus suffered on the cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, He had to tread the winepress all by Himself. Because He is the one who bore our sins in His body. No one can share with that. Brothers and sisters, there is one aspect of the sufferings of Christ that we have absolutely no part in it. Because of His atoning suffering, atoning death, we receive the good of it. We receive the remission of sin. But, you know, the sufferings of Christ have other aspects. And in the other aspect, He called us to share with His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, we find how our Lord Jesus suffered for righteousness' sake. How our Lord Jesus suffered because of His sympathy towards the world. How our Lord Jesus suffered because of the church, that the church may be born. How He travailed until He find that seed to satisfy His heart. And many other areas. And here you'll find the Lord Jesus calling us to share with His suffering. You remember Paul in Colossians said, how He travailed, how He fill up that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the body, which is the church. After the church is born, the church needs to grow. And for that, how we need to share the sufferings of Christ. If anyone is weak, Paul said, I'm weak. Oh, how his heart is burdened with the people. How he toiled and travailed in prayer for the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, there is this fellowship of His sufferings. He is calling us to suffer together with Him, that the church may be built. And you know, at first, the betrothed, fine, she couldn't do it. She said, I have already put off my tunic. How should I put it on? I have washed my feet. How should I pollute myself? She didn't want to do it. But then, she saw the hand of the Beloved. That pierced it. Nail-pierced hand. And that moved her to the very depth. So she got up. She went out. She couldn't find him. And she suffered. And finally, you'll find she found him. And it was in that stage. You read these words in chapter 6. Verse 8. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines, and they praise her. And then, following verse 13, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Why should you look upon the Shulamite as it were the dens of two camps? Here we find the marriage. Not only the engagement, but the marriage. Here you'll find this virgin had become Shulamite. You know, Shulamite is the feminine of Solomon. Solomon is the masculine. And Shulamite is the feminine. In other words, you'll find that the virgin, being called by the beloved, and responded to the voice of the bridegroom, and she moved on with the beloved until she came to a point that she was really one with him. Not only in life, but in purpose. And that union is a perfect marriage union. Shulamite, one with Solomon, united with Solomon in one. Dear brothers and sisters, we know that our Lord Jesus is always calling us on. Do not think that because you have known him a little bit, you have received something from him, you have enjoyed him to a certain degree, therefore you just are so contented and you just stay put. Do you not hear the voice of the beloved? He is always calling you on and on. He is calling you to come out of yourself and enter into him until you are really joined with him in one purpose. And that is the marriage of the Lamb. Oh, that we may hear the voice of the bridegroom. Of course, one day, we shall hear a voice. Behold the bridegroom. You know, brothers and sisters, if we are hearing the voice of the beloved, if we are really moving on with him, no doubt, there will be a cry in our heart, oh, that he may come. Oh, that it will be consummated by his return. You know, even in the Song of Songs, you find towards the end, the last verse, it is the cry of that loved one saying, haste, my beloved. And be thou like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. After she has experienced the Lord in such a way, there is left only one cry, and that is haste. Quickly! Come back quickly! In other words, that virgin has already the spirit of rapture. Her heart was already there, but he is longing for the time when the bridegroom shall return and claim her as his bride. Haste, my beloved. In the book of Revelation chapter 22, you find the same thing. The Spirit and the bride said, come. Oh, brothers and sisters, throughout the generations and the ages, those who have heard the voice of the beloved have been and are still now looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom. That is the consummation. In Matthew chapter 25, we find how the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. But because the bridegroom delayed, therefore they fell asleep. And suddenly at midnight, a cry, behold the bridegroom. Finally, the bridegroom comes. Even in the first century, the apostles. They were looking forward to the coming again of the Lord. You know, sometimes people said, they must be mistaken. Because the Lord will not come in the first century. How do you know? Even in the time of the first century, you find that those who love the Lord, they were waiting for the Lord to return in their lifetime. And they were right. Because the Lord could return. But He didn't. And you know, during the second and the third century, when the Christians were being persecuted, how did they greet one another? They greet one another with the word Maranatha. The Lord is coming. That's their blessed hope. But the Lord had not come. Every generation, every century, you find those who have heard the voice of the Beloved, those who love the Lord, they are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Because that is the consummation of love. If anyone is not looking forward to the coming of the Lord, he must be a wicked servant. Because the wicked servant said in his heart, the Master will not come yet. If you really love the Lord, your heart will go out. You will pray, haste. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Dear brothers and sisters, have we heard the voice of the Bridegroom? Are we longing to hear that voice? When the voice of the Bridegroom was heard, historically, you know, in a Jewish marriage, when the voice of the Bridegroom was heard, it means that the Bridegroom had arrived. Finally, the Bridegroom had arrived. And this is our blessed hope. I would like to read to you a hymn written by our dear brother Watchman Nee. He wrote this after China went red. And the Christians were under great pressure and difficulty. And it was at the time he wrote a hymn. Unfortunately, the English translation is not ideal. The Chinese is much better. But I cannot read to you the Chinese because most of you won't understand. You need the gift of interpretation. So I like to read to you with the English translation. And you can sense the feeling of God's people, the longing for the Bridegroom. Since long ago at Bethany we parted, within my heart there is a ceaseless void. How can I take my harp down from the willow? How can my song without thee be enjoyed? And when at night I'm keeping lonely vigil, grow dumb, a light to sorrow and to cheer. Then I recall the promise of thy coming. But sigh, O Lord, why thou dost not yet appear? Thy manger wakes the thought. I too am homeless. Thy cross strips earthly pleasures from my soul. Thy coming bids me seek a better country. For thou thyself art now my final goal. Things are gone, my joy has lost its flavor. My song the sweetness I will fain convey. Things are gone, the sense of void overwhelms me. Oh, how I long that thou wilt come and not delay. Though even now I know thy loving presence, yet in my heart there's still a sense of lack. Enlightening and tenderer sustaining can no more satisfy. I want thee back. Despite thy peace within, I still feel lonely. Despite thy joy, there still remain a sigh. When I feel most content, the silent yearning to see thee face to face becomes an uttered cry. What exile cannot but desire his homeland and long his people once again to greet? What soul on alien soil forgets his kindred? What parted lovers never yearn to meet? O Lord, how can these earthly loves and pleasures with all the joy of thy return compare? Then, if I cannot here behold thy countenance, what can I do but sigh till thou, my Lord, appear? Couldst thou, O Lord, forget thy word or promise, soon to return and take me unto thee? Yet day by day and year by year I waited, and still I wait, and no return I see. Remember, Lord, the years I have been waiting, while thy dear footsteps linger far away. How long, how long? Oh, must I wait still longer, till thou shalt come again in glorious array. From generation unto generation, thy saints have come and gone, but have not seen thy glorious promise pass into fulfillment. How long, how very long the time has been. Why cannot we, dear Lord, discern thy footsteps? Why are the heavens still so closely sealed? Oh, must be our waiting be prolonged still further before thou in thy matchless splendor art revealed. Lord, I recall the many years I've waited for thy return. Yet, Lord, not I alone, but thy dear saints throughout many generations, beseeching thee to come back for thine own. To countless tears and countless fervent pleadings, by thy appearing haste to make reply. Oh, may thou come, the echo of the ages. Come, come and answer me now, this mighty corporate cry. Brothers and sisters, throughout the centuries, throughout the generations, oh, the cry of the church is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Why is it that the bridegroom delayed? Remember one thing. The bridegroom is most anxious to come, but he cannot come. Because the bride has not made herself ready. He can come in the first century, but he cannot. He can come in the 19th century, but he cannot. He can come now, tonight. But if he should delay and not come tonight, it's because he cannot. Not because he will not. Is there any bridegroom who is not anxious to claim his bride? Oh, our Lord Jesus is most anxious to return. But unfortunately, the bride is not ready. Do you think we are waiting for him? Or is he waiting for us? Do you know that his coming, in a sense, depends on our conditions? You know, the timetable of God is flexible. It is not mechanical at all. He does not say now 2,000 years, just on the dot, he will come. No. His timetable is spiritual. It is conditioned by the readiness of the bride. And that's the reason why the Spirit of God is moving through the 20 centuries. And especially in our time, because the day is drawing very, very close. And that's the reason why the Spirit of God is calling, us. Get ready for Him. Are we ready? In one sense, we are never ready. If anyone thinks that he is ready, he is not ready. But in another sense, we have to be ready. Oh, how we need to repent. I believe repentance is something that needs to be continuous. Continuous repentance. Why? Not in the sense that we repent all over again as if we were not saved. No, you cannot do that. Once you have repented and believe in the Lord Jesus, you cannot repent again. But repentance in the sense that the more you hear the voice of the Beloved, the more you see the glory of the Lord, the more you discover more ground to repent. We need to repent. If we see the Lord, if we see Him, if we see Him more, there is more to repent. That will keep us in a broken and contrite situation. And that is the sacrifice that God likes. So the question today is this. If we really long for the bridegroom to return, then brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility. You know, we can hasten his return. We can delay his return. If we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today, then we can hasten the return of the Lord. If we do not repent, we can delay his return. Now tonight we will not go into this matter of how the bride has made herself ready. God willing, we'll go into that tomorrow. But tonight we just want to put this before us. The voice of the bridegroom. He is calling us, that we may truly be one with Him, be like Him. And when this happens, there will be the marriage feast of the Lamb. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we do pray that Thou will stir our hearts, that we may raise our voice unto Thee, and say, haste, my Beloved. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But Lord, we do know that Thou art waiting for us. Oh, that we may hear Thy voice, move on with Thee, that we may truly be one with Thee, that Thou may see that we are ready for Thee to come and claim us for Thyself. Lord, we want to lay ourselves at Thy feet and invite Thy Holy Spirit to perfect the work that Thou hast already begun. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.